Chapter 15. Sacrifice, Baptism of Blood, Unworthy Truths. By the authority invested in me by the Emperor of Mankind, I do judge thee a traitor to the Imperium. Lorgar watched Vendata, his benign expression unchanging all the while. Is that so? Asked the Primarch. Don't do this, said Argaltal. Ven, please do not do this. Vendata didn't take his eyes from Lorgar. The golden spire helm faced forward, red eye lenses catching the flame's reflection. Around them all, the drums were starting to slow and fall quiet. If any of you reach for a weapon, this becomes an execution, not an arrest. The word bearers remained frozen. Some risks weren't worth taking.
Lorgar, whispered Ingathel, the ritual must not be interrupted. The wrath of the gods will...
Be silent, witch, Vendata said. You have said enough already. Lorgar, 17th son of the Emperor, do you yield to righteous authority and give your oath to abandon this den of heathen belief? Do you vow to return at once to Terra and submit to the Emperor's judgment?
No, the Primarch spoke softly. I do not.
Then you leave me no choice. There is always a choice, said Argaltal. Vendata ignored the captain's plea. He reached for the scrollwork etched into his ornate bracer and pushed one of the mother-of-pearl buttons inlaid in the decoration. Nothing happened. He pressed the button again. Nothing continued to happen. The custodian took a step backwards as the word-bearers very, very slowly drew their weapons. The chaplains unlimbered their crozier smalls. Tsar Quarel and Dumos raised their bolters, and Argaltar unsheathed the swords of red iron. I think you will find, the Primarch smiled, that your teleport signal has been blocked since you entered this chamber. Just a precautionary measure we took, you understand. Aquilon and your brothers will not be appearing to aid you. They will never even know you needed them. I confess I had not anticipated this, Vendata said. Well done, Lorgar. It's not too late, Ven. Argaltal raised his swords on guard. Lower your weapon, and we can end this without crossing the line.
Great one, Ingathel whined. The ritual!
I said be silent, witch, snapped Vendata.
Lorgar sighed, as if a great disappointment settled upon his shoulders.
Decide now, Custodian Vendata, how best to serve my father's Imperium. Do you flee, escaping this chamber, and bring a truth you don't even understand to your brothers in orbit? Or do you shoot me now and rid the galaxy of its only chance at enlightenment?
The choice you offer is no choice at all, Vendata said.
Argaltal moved first, launching forward as the cavern echoed with bolter fire.
Vendata was not a fool. He knew the odds of surviving the next few moments were slim, and he knew a Primarch's reflexes were the peak of biological possibility, faster than even his own, which bordered on the preternatural. But Lorgar was at ease, his muscles loose. He actually expected his offer of truce to hold some weight, and that lapse in judgment was enough for Vendata to take the chance. He pulled the haft trigger, and his spear's underslung bolter cracked off a stream of rounds on full auto. Argaltal saw it coming. The swords of red iron smashed the first three bolts aside, their power fields strong enough to detonate the shells as they streaked towards the Primarch's heart. The explosions threw the captain to the ground, his grey armour scraping along the stone with a shriek of offended Ceramite. Vendata was already in motion. The golden warrior leapt at the Primarch, guardian spear spinning in his fists, an oath to the Emperor on his lips. Four word-bearers blocked his path, and those four word-bearers had to die. Rikus was the first to fall. The custodian's blade crunched into the soft, jointed armour at the chaplain's throat, punching from the back of his neck. Tsar Quarel died next, decapitated with a buzzing sweep of the energised blade, dead before he'd pulled his trigger. Dumos managed to fire a stream of bolt shells, none of which connected. Vendata weaved left, thudded the base of his spear into the chapter master's bolter, knocking it aside, and followed with a cutting swing that sheared both the word-bearer's hands from his body, severing them at the forearms. Dumos had a scarce moment to draw in a stunned gasp before the spear sliced again, this time cleaving through his collarbone and spine, ripping his head free. Vendata span the blade in his hands, letting it come to rest with the tip and gun barrel aimed at Lorga's heart again. Behind the custodian, the bodies crashed to the ground in slow succession. 3 seconds had passed. Argyltal was picking himself off the floor. Only Zaphon stood between the Primarch and his attacker, but the chaplain had used the scant precious seconds to draw his bolter, which he aimed squarely at Vendata's faceplate.
"Hold!" he warned. "Lorga, 17th son of the Emperor, surrender yourself into my custody at once!" "You killed my sons!"
Lorga covered his mouth with a hand. "They had never wronged you. Not once. Is this what my father's mandate allows you to do, to slaughter my sons if I do not dance to his ignorant tune?"
"Surrender yourself!"
the custodian repeated. Vendata had fought at the Emperor's side many times before. Always writ upon the Lord of Man's face was an unbreakable defiance, all emotion suppressed beneath a mask of stoic perfection. Lorgar didn't share his father's capacity to conceal emotion. Hate bleached his features, and white teeth showed in a skull's grin.
"You dare to threaten me? You murdered my sons, you soulless, worthless husk of genetic overspill?"
Vendata squeezed the trigger again, but it was too late. Zaphon fired first. Bolt rounds hammered into the custodian's golden armor, beating the faceplate and chest out of shape, tearing chunks of plating away as they detonated. Each suit of battle armor was individually wrought for the custodian granted the honor to wear it, and despite their finery, custodi's armor was a step beyond the mass-produced war gear used by the Astartes legions. Even so, the burst of bolter shells to the head and upper torso was almost enough to kill the warrior outright. Vendata staggered back, the guardian spear falling from slack fingers and crashing to the stone. Even with his face a burned and bleeding ruin, even with his helm wrecked and its twisted metal digging into his broken skull, he stared through the one eye that still worked. Zaphon reloaded. The Primarch did nothing. The naked maiden tugged at Lorgar's robe sleeve, imploring him to continue with the heathen rite, warning of the god's anger if he didn't. Vendata reached for his fallen spear. Wait. Where is Argelt? The sword of red iron flew like a javelin, cracking Vendata's remaining teeth into porcelain chips as it smashed into his closed mouth. 2 meters of shimmering blade lanced from the back of the custodian's head, while most of the warrior's ruined face was covered by the hilt and handle protruding from his open jaws. As Rikus, Zarquorel, and Dumos had done only moments before, Vendata crashed to the ground, felled by an imperial blade. Zaphon released a breath.
"Nicely done, brother."
The chaplain had no warning, for Argyltal struck without any. The captain's fist crashed into Zaphon's jaw, throwing him to the ground.
"Brother!"
From his place on the stone floor, the chaplain stared up at Argyltal's fury.
"We have just killed one of the Emperor's own guardians, and your eulogy in this moment is nicely done, brother. Are you insane? We stand upon the edge of heresy against the Imperium. Sire, we have to leave this place. We must speak with Aquilon and..."
"Retrieve your blade,"
ordered the Primarch. Lorgar stared into the middle distance, paying little heed to what unfolded before his eyes, his voice barely lifted above a whisper. Argyltal approached with slow steps, taking his second sword back without gentleness, yanking it from the corpse's jaws. He froze as Vendata's remaining eye followed him, and the body's fingers twitched.
"Blood of thee! Sire, he's still alive," Argyltal called back.
"There is no virtue in cruelty," murmured Lorgar. "I wrote that once, in my book. I remember doing so. I remember the scratch of quill upon parchment and the way the words looked on the page."
"Sire!"
Lorgar stirred, focused.
"End his suffering, Argyltal."
All heads turned towards Ingathil as she cried out, wordless defiance, in a keening wail.
"This was ordained by the gods!"
She gestured her tattooed hand to Vendata's ravaged form.
Lorgar is the Seeker, the favored son of the great powers, and he has provided the 10th sacrifice. Consecration may begin.
A pack of Cadians came forward, their dirty hands pulling at Vendata's golden armor, stripping it from his dying body. Argeltal kicked one of the jackals off the fallen custodian and leveled his blades at the rest. They scattered, carrion feeders disturbed from a meal at the last moment.
This was not a sacrifice for your blood magic, the captain said. He aimed a weapon at the Emperor's son, and he will die for the sin, that is all.
Argeltal looked over his shoulder.
Sire, we have to leave. No answer is worth this.
Lorgar lowered his hood, looking at neither Argeltal nor Ingerfell. His gaze rested on a far wall, and a faint scowl creased his lips.
What's that sound? The Primarch asked.
I hear nothing but the drums, sire. Please, we must leave at once.
You don't hear that?
Lorgar glanced at his two remaining sons.
Neither of you.
Their silence answered for them, and Lorgar reached a hand to his forehead.
Is that laughter?
Ingerfell was on her knees now, dragging at his robes, weeping in her worship.
The ritual! The gods come! It is not complete!
Lorgar paid her heed at last, though the distant look never left his eyes.
I hear them! I hear them all, like the memory of laughter. The forgotten faces of distant kin, when one struggles to recall them.
Argeltal clashed the swords of red iron together, the skish-skash of metal on metal, loud enough to draw the Primarch's attention.
Sire, he growled, we must leave.
Lorgar shook his head, infinitely patient, infinitely calm.
It is no longer our choice to make. Events are in motion. Stand away from the custodian, my son. But, sire, Ingerfell speaks the truth. This was all ordained. The storm that stranded us. The screams that summoned us, the fear that led Vendata to betray us, all part of a plan.
It's so clear to me, the dreams, the whispers, decade after decade after decade of...
Sire, please!
Lorgar's statuesque features were warped by a sudden rush of fury.
Stand away from that treacherous dog before you join him on an 11th spear. Do you understand me? This moment is a crucible upon which all else spins. Obey me, or I will kill you where you stand.
A shadow passed over Argeltal's sight, something terrible in aspect, something winged and wrathful beyond mortal imagining. The moment passed. The darkness receded. Argeltal did as Lorgar commanded, stepping away from the body and sheathing the swords of red iron.
No answers are worth this, the captain said.
Neither Zaphen nor Lorgar met his glare. With keen eyes, both watched the ritual proceeding again. Here Lorgar stopped writing. His smile was enriched by melancholy.
Do you believe I sinned in that moment?
Argeltal laughed, the sound black and bitter.
A sin is decided when mortal morality meets a code of ethics. Did you sin against a faith? No. Did you stain your soul?
Perhaps.
But you hate me, my son. I hear it in your voice.
I think desperation blinded you, father. You may take no joy in sadism, but your need for the truth drove you to viciousness.
And for this, you hate me.
Lorgar was no longer smiling. His tone was low and barbed, while his eyes had all the warmth of a body on the battlefield.
I hate what you forced me to see. I hate the truth we must bring to the Imperium of Man, above all. I hate what I've become in service to your vision.
Argeltal grinned the grin that wasn't his own.
But we could never hate you, Lorgar.
Vendata was still alive when they impaled him alongside the other 9 sacrifices, but mercifully not for long. He never saw the consecration bought with his blood. He never saw what breached the barrier between the realm of spirit and the world of flesh. Ingerfell's writhing dance came to an end. The maiden was bathed in sweat, her hair in greasy ringlets, and her body shining in the firelight as if beaded with pearls. In her hands, she still gripped her wooden staff, the head carved in a curving crescent moon. A tattooed god-talker stood before each of the occupied spears, blood from the slaughtered victims gathered into crude clay bowls that were clutched in white-knuckled hands. As Ingathel approached each in turn, the shaman would mark her flesh with a spiraling symbol, tracing blood onto her body with a fingertip. It was impossible to miss the significance. They were drawing the eye on her.
Incredible, said Lorgar.
He looked pained, the veins in his temples swollen and pulsing.
I know this ritual, Zaphon said. I know it from the old books.
Yes, the Primarch gave a strained smile. This is an echo of an ancient Colchisian ceremony. King priests, the rulers of old, were appointed like this. The maiden's dance, the blood sacrifices, the constellations inked upon her flesh, all of it. Corpheron would know it, as would Erebus. Both of them will have seen it before, with their own eyes, performed by the Covenant in the years before my arrival on Colchis. Argyltal had considered their culture far beyond such decadence. Lorgar must have picked up on his disgusted thought, because the Primarch turned to him with a sharp glance.
I do not perceive this as beautiful, Argyltal, merely necessary. You believe we have progressed past such superstition. I remind you that not all change is for the better. Buildings erode, flesh weakens, memories fade. These are all part of time's progression, and all would be reversed if a way could be found to do so. We are here to seek evidence for the existence of gods, sire. No gods worthy of worship could demand this of their followers.
Lorgar turned back to the ceremony, massaging his temples.
Those, my son, are the wisest words anyone has spoken since we found this world. The answers I am finding have dismayed me. Torture? Human sacrifice?
The Primarch's features drew into a slow wince.
Forgive me. I ramble. My mind aches. I wish they would stop laughing.
The cavern echoed with the thunder of drums, and the air trembled with monotone chanting from hundreds of human throats.
No one is laughing, sire, said Argyltal.
Lorgar turned a pitying smile on his son.
Yes, they are. You'll see. It will not be long now.
Ingathel came to the last god-talker. The shaman anointed her with Vendata's blood, outlining the serrated sun constellation on her bare stomach. With this last deed done, the maiden made her way back to the center of the platform. There she stood, arms reaching out from her sides, head thrown back, crucified upon the very air. The drumming intensified, a dragon's heartbeat thudding harder and faster as it slipped from its rhythm. The chanting became shouted laments, with hands and faces raised to the rock ceiling. Ingathel's bare feet slowly left the ground. Blood was running down her legs in staining trails, dripping from her toes to the stone. The Cadians screamed. All of them, every single one, screamed. The captain's helm dimmed its audio receptors to compensate, but it made no difference. Lorgar closed his eyes, fingertips still at his temples.
Here it comes.
Its arrival was heralded first by the reek of blood. Unbelievably potent, as rich and sour as spoiled wine, it flooded Argyltal's senses with enough violence to make him gag. Zaphon turned away, and Lorgar's eyes remained closed. Argyltal alone saw what happened next. Ingathel, risen above the ground in weightless crucifixion, died a dozen deaths in mere moments. Invisible forces excoriated her, flaying her skin away in ragged strips, letting them fall with wet slaps onto the stone below. Blood flowed from her mouth, her eyes, her ears and nose, from every entrance and exit in her body. She endured this for a handful of seconds, until what remained of her simply ruptured. Her musculature burst, showering the Primarch and his sons with human meat and lifeblood. Her skeleton, still articulated, remained before them for a moment more, only to splinter and shatter with a sound of smashing pottery. Bone chips cracked off Argyltal's armor, clacking like hailstones. The maiden's staff clattered to the ground.
Lorgar,
said the creature, taking form amidst the dead girl's wreckage. Lorgar placed the quill on the parchment and closed his eyes. A reflection of that moment in the cavern, months ago to Argeltal, only a handful of nights ago to the Primarch himself.
"I curse the truth we have discovered," he confessed. "I curse the fact that we have reached the edge of reality only for hatred and damnation to stare back at us from the abyss. The truth is often ugly. It is why people believe lies. Deception offers them something beautiful."
The creature that was and wasn't Argeltal continued its recitation. The Primarch opened his eyes and looked upon the face of the future. It towered above them all, taller even than Lorgar, and regarded them with mismatched eyes above an open maw. The Cadian worshippers were so silent, so still, that the word-bearers were no longer sure any other beings remained alive in the cavern. Tactical data streamed across Argeltal's eye lenses as his targeting sensors cycled in frantic inability to lock onto the creature. Each attempted lock drew an invalid response. Where his retinal view would always display analyses of an enemy's armor and anatomy, a Colchisian rune now blinked, "Unknown, unknown, unknown," across his eyes. Zaphon voiced the same problem.
"I can't lock onto it. It's not there."
"Oh, I am here."
"Did you hear that?" the chaplain asked.
Argeltal nodded, though his audio receptors had tracked no changes at all. He disengaged the magnetic clamp sealing his bolter to his thigh and aimed it at the creature. He flinched when a golden hand rested on the weapon, lowering it to the floor.
"No,"
Lorgar whispered. The Primarch's eyes shined. With the threat of tears? Argeltal wasn't sure.
"Lorgar,"
the creature said again. The Primarch met the thing's unbalanced stare. Four arms curled from its slender torso, each ending in a clawed hand. Its lower body was the mating of serpent and worm, ripe with thick veins in the grey flesh. Its face was almost entirely given over to its open jaws, with selachomorphic teeth in disorderly rows. A biological impossibility, an evolutionary lie. It was never still, never motionless, even for a moment. Veins throbbed beneath its discoloured skin, betraying its pulse, and its talons were constantly opening and closing. Only one of its four hands remained closed, gripping Ingerfell's ritual staff in a clawed fist. One eye was sunken, dark and buried in a face of filthy fur. The other, swollen, fit to burst, and the sickening orange of a dying sun. Nothing remained of the maiden. What reared up before them on its coiled lower body was utterly beyond notions of gender.
"I am Ingerfell the Ascended,"
it said, and its silent voice was 100 murmurs all at once. Argeltal found his eyes drawn to the curved spines of blackened bone that arced out from the thing's shoulder blades. Wings, he thought. Wings of black bone.
"Yes, wings. Humanity forever lies to itself about angels. The truth is ugly. Lies are beautiful. So mankind makes the gods' messengers beautiful. No fear, then. Lovely lies. White wings."
"You are not an angel,"
Argeltal spoke aloud.
"And you are not the first Colchisians to reach this world. Khan, Tezen, Slanat, Narak, all ventured here millennia ago, guided by visions of angels."
"You are not an angel,"
Argeltal repeated, clenching his bolter tighter.
"Angels do not exist. They have never existed. But I bring the word of the gods, as angels must do. Look for the core of truth at the heart of humanity's lies. You will see me, my kind, angels."
The creature blinked. Its swollen eye wouldn't allow it, but its black pebble of an orb vanished for a moment under wet, wrinkled flesh.
Angels, demons, just words, just words.
Lorgar stepped forward at last. To Argeltal's eyes, he seemed naked without a Crozius in his hands.
How do you know me?
You are the chosen. You are the favored son of the powers. Your name has echoed across our realm since time immemorial, carried on the winds by the shrieks of the Neverborn.
I do not understand what you're saying.
But you will. There are lessons to be taught, things that must be shown. I will guide you. One lesson comes first.
The creature, Ingerfell, gestured two of its claws, one at Zaphon, the other at Argeltal.
Your sons, Lorgar, give me their lives.
You ask a great deal of me, said Lorgar. You plead for my trust and for the souls of my sons. Yet I owe you nothing. You are a spirit, a demon. Superstition born from nightmare and incarnated into flesh.
All the while, Lorgar walked around the creature. He showed no fear, no trepidation. Argeltal recognized the faint tension in the Primarch's fingers. The Urizen ached to wield the Crozius that for now was not at his side.
You know of the primordial truth. You know that a secret lies behind the stars. You know this is not a godless galaxy. The very gods you seek are the powers that sent me to you.
Lorgar's angelic countenance twisted into a patient smile.
Or I could speak a single word to my sons, and their weapons would end this conjurer's trick.
Ingerfell's jaw quivered, its fangs clicking together in a grotesque failure of symmetry. Argeltal had seen the expression on its face before, written on the wide-eyed, shivering visages of trapped vermin.
Your blood sons could not end me.
They have ended everything else the galaxy has thrown at them.
The Primarch made no pretense at hiding his pride. Argeltal and Zaphon raised their bolters in perfect unison, both warriors sighting down the gun barrels of the creature's eyes.
I bring the answers you have sought all your life. If you wish to awaken humanity to enlightenment, if you wish to be the architect of the faith that will save mankind, I...
Enough posturing. Tell me why you must take my sons from me.
It moved in a blur, its serpentine tail leaving a smear of residue the thickness of treacle along the stone. One moment, the creature stood in the center of the platform. The next, it slithered before Lorgar, staring down at the Primarch. Lorgar didn't recoil. He merely looked up at the creature.
The Great Eye. I will guide them into the storm, into the realm of the powers. That is the first step, written in fate's own hand. They will return with answers. They will return as the weapons you require. Your time will come, Lorgar. But the powers call for your sons, and I will guide them to where they must go.
I would not sacrifice them for answers.
Ingerfell's jaw clicked as it trembled. Its laughter was little more than verminous chittering.
Do you believe that? Nothing matters more to you than the truth. The powers know their son's heart. They know what you will do before it is done. If you desire enlightenment, you will take this first step.
If I agree to this, will you harm them?
Ingerfell turned its bestial head to the side, watching the two warriors with its inhuman eyes.
Yes.
The decision was not to be made lightly. As he was wont to do, the Primarch retreated into seclusion, away from the distractions of fleet management, away from the menial responsibilities that came with soldiering, and remained in the caverns beneath Cadia's surface. Argeltal and Zaphon returned to their Thunderhawk at the modest landing site, finding they had much to say to one another and little will to speak it. While the chaplain boxed a scant, vague update to the ships in orbit, Argeltal took the task of appraising Aquilon of the situation over a secure vox channel. Almost an hour later, the captain descended the gang ramp, standing once more on the desolate plains, watching the sky with its shroud of rippling violet. In Carnadine, ever the silent watchman, stood as an imposing sentinel nearby. Argeltal saluted, but the robot made no response. Next to the automaton, Z-New-73 emitted a blurt of irritated machine code. Something in his data readings apparently vexed him. At that point in time, the word-bearer couldn't have cared less. When Zaphon joined him at last, Argeltal had a hard time meeting his brother's eyes. He placed his armored boot on one of the swollen, 12-legged beetles that scurried over the wastelands, killing it with a moist, crackling crunch.
"What lies did you weave for the eyes of the Emperor?" asked the chaplain. "A long and detailed tale that tasted foul to even speak. Acadian sect attacked us out of bitterness, and Ven was lost with Deumos, Zarquoro, and Rikus. Did they die like heroes? Oh, undoubtedly. Songs will be sung and legends forever told of their most noble ends."
He spat acid onto the ground. Zaphon gave a mirthless snort, and they fell silent. The two Astartes watched the stained sky, neither wishing to be the first to broach the next subject. Ultimately, it was Argeltal that ventured there first.
"We've split the Legion and sailed to the galaxy's edges only to find this. The old ways of Colchis were right. Demons, blood sacrifice, spirits made flesh. All of it is real. Now Aurelian lingers in the darkness, sharing words with that creature, deciding whether to sell our souls for even uglier answers. If this is enlightenment, brother, perhaps ignorance is bliss."
Zaphon turned from the burning sky.
"We have defied the Emperor to find these truths, defied the spirit of his decrees, even if we obeyed the letter of the law. Now a custodian lies dead, and imperial blades have shed imperial blood. There can be no going back from this. You know what the Primarch will decide."
Argeltal thought back to Vendata's words.
"The choice you offer is no choice at all." "It will break his heart to do it," the captain said. "But he will send us into the eye."